Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives with Stace Cargie and Lindy Turner.
Welcome back to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I am Stace Cargie.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And this is our weekly conversation about all things that matter, our homes, our finances, our families, our future. And today we are talking female entrepreneurship with Ms. Dana Diamond of Diamond Merchant Solutions. And Dana joined us a few weeks back and we had such a cool and interesting conversation about how you came back into the workforce after being a stay-at-home mom. And I think that there's so many people that can relate to that.
Exactly. So we're excited to talk with you a little bit about this, Dana. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much for having me come out again. I appreciate it. I'll just kind of piggyback on where Stace left off. I was a stay-at-home mom for about 25 years. I have five sons.
Five sons.
Five boys, yeah.
That is a lot of male energy.
It is so a lot of male energy, it was. And for several years, there was six males in the home, and I was the only female. So I found one day, it was kind of funny, probably around the age of 45, I woke up one day and realized I was wearing camouflage, and I thought, wait a minute, something's not right about this. And I realized, I'm a female. I'm a female. And so I started kind of morphing, if you will, at that point in time, and realizing I need to feel more feminine and look more feminine, not just as a stay-at-home mom. So long story short, my boys, I homeschooled them, and then they went out and went into public school at high school. So I started going out into the workforce when I was probably about 6 years ago. So the first time.
Wow, the five boys kind of took my breath away. But then when you talked about homeschooling five boys, I've got to get over that just a little bit. I can't even imagine that. But I have to ask this: how close in age are they?
Oh, well, my first one is 27. My second one is 25. So they're about 24 months apart. And then fast forward in 2005, I had twins, June of 2005, June 6th, actually. They came 9 weeks early. So they were preemies. They weighed 4 pounds each. They were at Centennial. So we stayed at Ronald McDonald for quite a while until they got to come home. And lo and behold, we got them home. And guess what? I'm pregnant again.
Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah. So I had another pregnancy 1 year and 2 days after the twins. So I had another boy on June 8th, 2006.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that is, that's amazing. And all that just absolutely makes it even more understandable how it's like, okay, when I'm ready and you were ready to get out and into the world again. First of all, congratulations
yes.
on that.
Thank you.
So talk a little bit about that.
So, yeah, that was really hard. And, you know, people ask, what was it like having three babies? Well, I nursed them, actually. I breastfed them. The twins were in NICU unit, so I had to pump. And I had to stay pumping every 3 hours around the clock. Get up in the middle of the night, set the alarm, pump, store it in the freezer in the NICU unit. And so there came a time when they caught up to that supply. And when I got pregnant with the third one, it was just, do what you got to do, you know? And so the first year, I tell everybody, the first year was a blur. It was all diapers, formulas, nursing, so on and so forth. And I had several friends from my church that had daughters that wanted to hold babies and babysit. So I was very fortunate at the time to have a good church community around me that really came and helped out. And so I was able to get a little bit of sleep. So yeah, it was overwhelming, but I raised them in the back of a hauler in Smith County. They were raised out way in the dead end of a holler. We had a natural spring creek. They had campouts. We just didn't have any neighbors around. And so they grew up out in nature just being boys. So it was a perfect location.
So I got to ask this question because it fascinates me when folks homeschool their children. Because there's a lot of things that I know that I'm capable of, but that is the one thing I could not do. I will tell you straight up. I've been in, you know, college now since the 80s, I don't think I'm ever leaving. So, but as much as embedded in school that I am, the thought of trying to teach my own children on the daily and have them stick to a schedule, I'm very scheduled and I'm very regimented. So how do you do that? That's just amazing to me.
You know, it's overwhelming. To be honest with you, in the beginning, homeschool has this status myth to it, if you will, that we're all organized and we're at the table and we're, you know, doing all the work that they're doing in the public school. Truth be told, I made myself crazy trying to keep that together, and it got so frustrating, and I was in tears and they were in tears, that I just realized, I looked up the state's requirements. What is the legal state requirement for homeschooling? As it turned out, they only needed to be schooled 4 hours a day, and they needed schooling for 4 hours. So I said, you know, 4 hours, we can find different things to do and learn. And I got a lot of feedback from people like, I couldn't do this. Just like you said, I couldn't do it. But the truth be told, I learned how to utilize the resources around us to teach them with. So you can go to the grocery store and you could teach them math just in the produce department. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You could take them to a library and get them a book, a video, or anything nowadays, even back in, you know, in early 2000s. So I utilized a lot of resources, whether they were online resources and they watched some videos that were educational, or whether we were outside in nature on a field trip and we learned about bugs. We just used everything. But the biggest thing that I did was, is I felt so strongly to raise them up in the scriptures. So I actually taught them through the Bible from Genesis to Revelations and Greek and in Hebrew through all subjects, called Student of the Word curriculum. And they really loved that. Uh-huh. So that's one of the things that they really took away, was a solid foundation of their faith, knowing what that word says without it having to be interpreted to them from an outside source. So that is something that I really wanted to have more instilled in my children, if you will.
And with five, you didn't have the hurdle of socialization.
No.
You had that one taken care of, didn't you?
Absolutely. You know, that's another thing that homeschool gets such a stigmatism of, is that homeschoolers are not socialized or whatnot. And I can see it from both perspectives, because we do tend to be in co-ops together, in groups, communities together, so that our children don't really typically socialize with. However, it actually was the opposite. They learned better social skills with the homeschool groups that we were with, because those kids were all in structured homeschools as well.
One of the things that's very cool here in Cumberland County is there is an agreement, so that if your child is homeschooled and in that homeschool curriculum, or if they're in a private school, they actually can play sports.
Yes.
Throughout the Cumberland County school systems, which is very cool. And, you know, people again talk about, well, you know, they didn't get this experience, they didn't get that experience. So I think it's being able to teach your children and have their education be the way that you see it as a parent, which is fantastic, while also providing them with every opportunity that's available.
Agreed. Absolutely. And so that's so true. And the other thing is that they all have different personalities. These are five boys that are not all the same. Even the twins are two polar opposites of each other. So they all had different gifts and talents that they all came in with. And when I started to see what they were naturally bent at, I would get behind them and inspire them in that direction, so that they were actually more engaged. That engaged them even more.
Okay. You're homeschooling.
Right.
You're at home, you're up in the holler, nobody's around. How did you keep your sanity?
Oh, dear Lord. honestly,
that's the real question.
That's the real question. That was the Lord. I mean, I didn't do it perfectly. I had days that I lost my stuff. I was a mom, and I was dealing with a lot. At the time, my husband, unfortunately, he didn't work very much, and he dealt with a disability of his own. So we were very poor. But we gardened, we did canning, I baked fresh bread every day. I just felt a drive that they should have a better upbringing than I did. And so I pretty much did everything I possibly could on a conscious level to make sure they had a complete opposite of what I had growing up.
See, now this is what's amazing to me, and this is what I believe makes you just an awesome female empowered entrepreneur, because you have all of these skills, right? From you're managing your household, you're managing these children, you're managing their education, you're managing, you know, basic needs, finances, all of these things. And I think sometimes employers, when a woman comes back into the workforce after being a stay-at-home mom for a while, it almost gets looked down upon. Oh, well, so what were you doing? You know, like you're sitting around on a couch, you know, eating
bonbons
all day.
Yeah. That's what they think. Yeah. You know, that was really tough. It was a transition to come into the workforce for the first time. And I think I had mentioned this in my previous broadcast with you, is that in high school, I was part of Future Business Leaders of America. That was my passion and drive was to be in the marketplace. And whether that was a salesperson or what, I didn't know. So I kind of dipped my toe in the water while I was a stay-at-home mom. While these babies were in sleep stage, where they took lots of naps, I took advantage of an opportunity to get online and make some passive income doing network marketing with different health and wellness stuff. And my mamaw, who passed away last year at 104 years old, my mamaw was solely responsible for grooming me and honing my communication skills. She would always correct my grammar, always, growing up, which I loved. And I got to where I had the skill of communication, so I became independent and I started doing MLMs online. And so I started to develop skill sets of making connections with people through networking throughout the United States in 2006. And I stayed on that trend as a stay-at-home mom, doing that for about 6 or 7 years. And then to transition into this, as to going into the workforce in the business arena, was really difficult because I didn't have a resume. Like you said, I was a stay-at-home mom for 25 years. So I literally started out just cleaning houses. I cleaned bed and breakfast inns. I worked at a historic bed and breakfast inn in Red Boylan Springs. I cleaned houses. I was an editor for a paper at the Macon Times. When I had to divorce my husband and take over because we were in jeopardy of losing the house that we had just brought the children out of the holler from, where they were all in the same room for the first 7 years of their lives, and we moved to a nice house, and then he loses his job, I said, no, this cannot happen. No, we do not go backwards. So we do whatever we have to move forward. And so I got jobs wherever I had to pay the bills. I filed for divorce, and in 2018, I came into Cookeville as a merchant service credit card processing lady, doing credit card processing for other businesses.
And so as somebody that's coming into the workforce, and you're having these initial interview sessions, and I'm going to kind of loop Lindy in on this as well, because Lindy's, you know, she's our executive director with Clinch Powell, so she does a lot of interviewing. And let me back up what I'm saying. That sounds like that there's not because there's turnover, but I mean, you've interviewed a lot of people through the years and brought them into the organization. So I just want to clarify that. So from Lindy, from your perspective, if you see someone like Adana coming into Clinch Powell, what are the things that you're looking for so that you know where they might fit best? I'm putting you on the spot.
You are putting me on the spot. I think I listen for things, and it's never what's on your resume ever that gets you a job, in my opinion. It's the what else can you do, what else do you know, and what have you experienced in all of your life, and how do you, some of the things that you've talked about was how do you face adversity. There's a lot to be said, and there's actually everything to be said in the you don't go backwards. Mm-hmm. You make it work.
Yeah.
You know, you eat the food on the plate that's in front of you.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that, because my father used to make us eat what was on the plate in front of us. And if we didn't eat it that night, it stayed on the dining room table. And that's what we had to have for breakfast. He was not very nice that way. But
I don't mean it that way.
Yeah. Not that way. No. But you're right. I had to do what I had to do. I think most moms would, in all honesty. When you are having to survive, not just for yourself, but for your babies, you're going to do whatever you got to do to make it happen. And that's where that drive kind of kicked in for me, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, and all that speaks to work ethic, and commitment and dedication, resourcefulness, and those are all things that any employer is absolutely, hungry for, you know? People that have come through Clinch Powell, They haven't always come through a traditional way at all, and we've had more than a few who've had a rough spot, patch in their life or whatever, and so it's not about that.
It's not about what you look like on paper.
Do you want to work?
Yeah.
Do you want to succeed? Do you want to be part of something that you can make a difference with, whatever that is, whether that's for-profit retail, no matter what it is, does it you know, set you alight?
Biggest difference between being a mom and being a grandma?
Most of your life at work.
Not
if you're in the workforce.
Being the disciplinarian.
So, you love.
Yeah. You're the cookie monster.
I am. You know, I am. I am the, you know,
part of your,
let's go to Gigi's house, you know.
I love that Gigi. That's your grandma.
That is so true. Gigi.
I'm often when I'm in a supervisory role.
It's always funny. I pretend like I don't see him, but I see him all the time when my kids are,
our
you know, whatever, we're having a family thing, and
I'll
be something with
set,
the grandkids,
but has
and
an
I see my son and my daughter
and
will look at each
say,
other and say,
you know, hey, would it
do
be
you
okay
see
if
that?
I come in early and shadow you for a little bit?
Do you know what she would have done if we'd have done that? You know,
I was like that annoying person, and I was
because
I was annoying when I started off, and this was in radio.
Not mine.
Roles go out the window. Radio was a very difficult business for me.
Although I'm not completely a pushover, but
the only way you got on radio was if you were the weather. The weather bunny,
right?
Well,
or
the laugh because you've done all
that
the hard stuff.
Because
right?
it is fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you've done all the raising and
was
the
really, really
bedtime and all of that.
Yeah.
And now you want to just be able to, you know, make some popcorn
manager,
and build a
fort
and, you know,
rare, especially
we'll sleep
at that
out
time
here and we'll camp out
business.
And so eat some s'mores and then, oh, by the way, your mommy will be here in an hour to pick you up.
What can I do today?
How many desserts do you want?
Is it okay if I come in?
It's the best thing.
Is it all right if I stay late?
She would always,
do you need some coffee?
We had two grandkids that
lived very close to us. Would it be okay if I put these albums away?
Were over,
you know,
a
whatever
lot.
That
so that's
it
who my
was,
kind of
I was
point
always
of
looking
at.
But
we
what
had Christopher
isn't being
and
done.
We had Danielle,
and that's the
and
thing that
Christopher
I knew.
Okay, so was
that's not being
disabled.
Done. That means that that person doesn't
and
like
Danielle
doing it. It's a menial. Maybe it's a menial
so they
task
would sit
to them
right.
at the table.
So
I'm going to
Christopher
do it.
Could say
I'm going to be
words.
That person,
and
then
one of them was
maybe
ice
down the road. There's going to be an opportunity.
Well, Eichmann ice cream.
So and Danielle would say
me
if somebody wants to come to me and say
like those
either marshmallows or cookies.
Yeah,
that's what she wants.
Or would it be okay if
always
you know,
had
maybe walk me through this spreadsheet.
Always ice cream.
Or how
and
did
there
you
was
come
a
up
sticky note
numbers?
On. There was a note. Christopher.
That is what reminded me.
And there was a special
because
cookie
that tells
strut.
Me this person
you know,
wants
that was Danielle.
I'm going to go to the next level.
And I knew.
Right. Rather
if
than
if I went in there even with a spoon to take a little bite
out.
Of that
and
ice cream,
there's anything wrong with that.
I would have been smacked in the next
level. Hey, if you're there for a
paycheck, have your horror about that. I mean, it would have just happened.
If you're there for a career,
because
you want to make a career,
her thing. That was
then
they
got to be thinking, you know, get dressed for the job.
Christopher,
you want,
yeah,
Christopher
exactly.
had
yeah.
a lot of
yeah,
of
agree,
these,
exactly.
These
I mean, and that's the thing. I had to go out and start
mentally
dressing professionally. The gentleman that I had come into contact with at the time, he said, "You know, you've got great communication skills. You should come do what
very,
I do." And I shadowed
well.
With him, and he did credit card processing. That's how I got into this. And so he helped teach me how to present. And I was fine with talking to the business owners, to the merchants. I didn't have a problem with that. He kind of used me as that little tool for him, really,
and
to kind of open the door for
day,
that. But yeah, I had to start transitioning a lot of things
back to that
and,
time and what his
learn an industry that I had no education
like,
on. But just by shadowing him, I learned for a good
love,
year, I shadowed with him and learned
you know,
a lot.
That he
so
could
now
not
you're back in the workforce, and we're going to flash forward a few years,
and
you get involved
in
a couple of different networking groups.
So special.
So how did that all happen for you?
Well, that came through the gentleman that taught me the credit card processing. He had a membership to a networking group called BNI in Cookville,
yeah.
but he didn't feel comfortable
along,
getting up in front of a room of business owners
yep.
and talking.
So then there was the marshmallow
I was
stuff,
a social butterfly.
Right?
I'm an extrovert. I love to talk to people.
Son,
so he said, here, you take the seat. So I got
candy,
into
so
that chapter
that
about 4 years
yep.
ago.
And so was,
and I stayed in it for about a year. And it was great. It was wonderful. But I got experience of being in a networking chapter at the time. Fast forward probably about 3 years ago, a year after
that,
I was asked to lead a networking group. And I did. I started to for probably about 6 months.
One thing that
we had about five or seven, I want to say 10 members all together at the time.
We talked about this for years.
And we realized that the money that we were paying for our membership wasn't going back into our own community. Plus the fact nonprofits could not join
that
networking group for free. So we sat aside at the unction of the members to let's start our own thing. And they wanted me to lead it. And I said, okay, what do you want? And we sat down at a table. We decided what we wanted. And we put together a structure of a networking organization that was very simple, very affordable
no
for
kidding.
The masses, and that allowed nonprofits
no
to be
kidding.
Able to join, to have a platform to get in front of that they didn't have to pay
the
for.
The things that you wish you could hear
And that's where
again,
BNC, Business Network Connection, was birthed,
again.
Was from that
I know where you're talking
about
Mother's Day, but...
So, yeah.
Well, that's
my father-in-law,
and it is a,
at his 88th birthday.
I know, as a nonprofit one that we
had
very appreciative
a get together
and take it.
And
I love having Clinch Powell in the group all the inspiration and the encouragement and the hope that you all give to the members that have come in. Like Stacey mentioned in our last broadcast, we had people that come into the meeting, and while she's there attending, had no idea that they were actually in need of a home and that they qualified.
Yeah, I keep thinking about
that. That was wonderful. So, yeah,
for me, for my grandkids,
for the nonprofits as well, and Stacey Nash from Habitat for Humanity as well.
What software you're talking about, because I'm like,
well, but we wanted to make it non-structured. We didn't want to have the rigidity to have to attend. There's no mandatory attendance. We just asked
I know there's a couple different ones, and you
can
just Google it.
Yeah, that's a good
thought.
And it's just $25 a month.
To me, those are the things.
And so it's affordable, and it's just mainly to prioritize supporting each other in the community. Professionals and nonprofits.
My mom's voice, I'm lucky that I have a lot of that because she was on my radio shows for many years.
Small business or a
so
nonprofit,
I can listen to my mom.
Business,
and that's
hard
so sweet,
to be a business.
Yes, it is.
Because she's so feisty and spunky
small
and just
or
she was
in your face.
But, and, you know, that all comes through, believe me. So that's really cool. I miss her recipes.
And,
one of the things I did for my kids a few years ago was I got them all cookbooks that were handwritten kind of cookbooks.
People,
and I wrote out their favorite recipes.
Yes. She is my kindred sister, totally.
I know. So great.
I'm not.
If I'm not an extrovert.
To this day, I cannot make my potato salad taste like my mother's.
It
drives me insane.
It's such a jam. You know, even if she'd written it down,
I know.
It wouldn't have tasted the same. It's funny you said that because Laura, you know, my daughter, you certainly know, for Christmas, she gave me a recipe book where you're supposed to write. And, you know,
for me,
it's like every couple of weeks ago, you writing those recipes down? Or you know,
sales gets looked at as like a four-letter word.
Not,
and I know you know what I'm talking
about. I'm trying.
Oh, yes.
It's not like I do all that much cooking anymore for just for
sales
two.
Sales is a five-letter word.
And
it's in a very empowering
word. A few years ago.
Because when you look at something that you believe in, right? When I'm at BNC and I get my minute to talk about Clinch Powell.
At any rate, for Christmas one year,
hey, I'm starting with Clinch Powell.
I got cutting boards.
I'm with Clinch Powell.
And
we are a nonprofit
for each of
the entire state of Tennessee. We're based in Rutledge. But let me tell you, we're changing lives. And how do we do that? One family at a time, right? If you're coming in and you've got credit issues or you've got financial issues or, you know, maybe you're facing
foreclosure, they're always like, how do you make it? I'm like, but I don't measure anything, you know, which of course is very frustrating. But one Christmas,
I'm like, and you're ready to buy a house right now. Hey, we can help you too.
I made like 20 pounds of cornbread trying to, you know, to get it to figure out just how much of everything.
I'm all about a puzzle. I'm about
And I bought, you know,
so
course,
much
cast iron skillet is the most important
quote,
part,
unquote,
but not new ones.
When
only
you believe
old ones.
In
and
what
I see,
you're
I
doing.
I cleaned them up, not
so for me,
them for my son,
I talk
my
about
daughter.
All the time. And the number one thing I get is
two other daughters.
You know, we're very new. We're about 3 years in now to really saturating the Upper Cumberland. We've always served it, but we've been super serving now for about the last 3 years. So the buzz, you know, has permeated. And I really appreciate BNC because through the networking organization,
so
we've been able
for them to have that.
Meet
well,
and connect with
I'll get there
so
the end of the
many
story
community leaders.
This year,
Blair Dudley, I call him
the
unofficial mayor of Cookeville. He's been on
this
show before.
Gone, you know, it's about
probably
worn
the most
off.
Connected person
I said,
I've
well,
ever
just
met.
Take a sharpie. He
You've
said,
got
no.
an issue. You've got
said,
a problem. You need to solve
the recipe out again, and I'm going to have it.
This is what I'm looking for.
And
he has that person.
Well, you just tried it down. He said, no, I want you to
He's a connector. He's a connector.
Really
he's a natural connector.
Really phenomenal guy and a great guy. And truly passionate, cares about our community, cares about our people, and lives that every day. And now to think that Blair's out there when somebody says, hey, I've got this friend, and maybe they're having some struggles. He says,
circling back,
here's Stacey's number.
That's kind of the best mother
Give Stacey a call.
Yeah.
You know, Stacey Nash, we talked about Stacey with Habitat for Humanity. You know, we kind of work in the same space in a way, but she's doing a different thing sort of in Putnam County. County.
Through the teenagers
and through the tough 20s and whatever.
Have
she doesn't have.
Right. Things matter.
We confuse people all the time.
Yeah. Because we're things. You
Here, call Stace or call Stace and they're like, remember, I thought you were on tight.
It's
very funny at times. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Mom gave me this.
Oh, Stace,
whatever.
That's not the things you remember.
That's the beauty of being safe.
It's not about, oh, I'm not going to talk to them because they build houses and punch houses
and just doing finance.
And is sitting in the hospital.
No, it's not about the competition.
No,
it's about, hey,
I mean, I remember that
memory so vividly. We want to fill a need, and we are mission based in what we do at Punch Pal.
My mom's birthday.
We are mission based, and we fill it in a guttural
existence, super emo for me because,
we want to help and we want to serve our community
together.
So if I don't have something in my
having those memories where we would go and
I know another organization does
as a family,
I'm not going to sit there and say,
having that connection with my mom,
I feel so much better being able to
say that connected that we're
I really don't have anything that fits.
However,
I know somebody.
Those are the
somebody
things
that might.
As I get older,
and then you've given hope.
I really
right?
try
and
to focus on my
connect
kids.
Back
and people joke around
we'll talk,
with me
and she'll
a lot
say, "Hey, did you talk to so and so? Did you talk to so and so?"
And again, it just feeds and feeds on a
yes,
and then I'll go on a cruise
and empowerment.
But everyone's like, "You're going on a cruise again?"
And it doesn't force.
Because that's what I do. I like
you're not forced, and I think that's the biggest thing. A lot of networking organizations have a cookie cutter structure that you have to adhere to, and you got
to
pay a lot of money for that, and you feel forced to have to do it. It weighs on business owners that don't have the time. They're trying to grow their business. They don't have time to go to a meeting every single week. But you also bring up a really good point about competing.
Right.
And we talked about this last time as well. I don't feel my personal self, I'm not here to compete with anybody. I'm just here to rule my own reality.
Your mama figure, your own.
And that's what I try to encourage others to do the same. There is no need for compete. Just try to just rule your own reality. And if your own reality is to be a community-hearted person, and you just want to bring people together for the sake of just to bring them together in harmony and connect and support with one another,
you
shouldn't have to really charge for that. There shouldn't have to be a fee, and you shouldn't be forced to have to do it. If you want to participate, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to.
We've got some credit counseling that's beyond that we can help you to help take care of your children. Know that we love on you, and we appreciate when we see you.
Exactly. And it will help move you forward, because it is so, back to that single mom thing.
They wanted you to.
You were talking about
your business
at the hospital and the ice cream.
Yes, that is correct.
When I think about my mom, she worked all day, and she came home every night and cooked supper, and then she went to a second job.
In our world,
what I wouldn't give.
They don't do business
for some fried potatoes that my mom made.
Me too.
We never had fancy food. It was a while back. Now you can't afford it, but we had a lot of fried bologna, fried spam, lots of fried potatoes. Because things that at the time those were the things that were cheap too.
Exactly.
But, oh my gosh, I tried a fried potato
and it ostracizes people. It shuns. So when I was a part of that other organization, when I left it. About 6 months ago, I didn't renew my membership at that organization because I have my own here.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't get talked to or reached out to at all by any of those people.
And ask stories.
And that really hurt, you understand, because they called us a family. We're all in there together. It's a family. The word is very fluent, family. But when you're no longer an attendant, you're outside of the family.
And you know what? We all lived through times. And
we got about 2 minutes left. So I want to just kind of give a little moment for you. I know that
we tend to tell same stories kind of over and over.
So how does someone reach you,
I wish
Dana,
I'd listen
and
closer.
Join us
I wish
perfect.
I had
thank you so much. So you can reach me at 615-486-1807.
How did you come to be there? I mean, there's
that
the
is
rest
my personal
of the
cell.
Story
if you're interested in opening a BNC meeting here in Crossville
really
and you want to have a community of support with other business owners, just reach out to me, businessnetworkconnection.org or 615-486-1807. But you can also find us on Facebook on Business Network Connection. BNC, we have
I've
a page,
met.
And
Sorry,
we have a group.
Our moms.
Look,
and Miss Lindy Howe is one.
You know what?
Clinch Powell.
There's nothing like Mom
you can
Radar.
Reach Clinch Powell. Ah. Going to ClinchPowell.com.
Right?
This is true.
Mom Radar. I know my kids will be like
828-5927.
You know, do you remember this time when you called or
865-274-8598? I had to think for a minute.
You have no idea.
My brain is just on pause right now. I tell you, I'm like, what is my phone number again? I only say it 17 times a day.
Yeah.
Ladies, I want to thank you both for joining us today. It inspires me when I am surrounded by
awesome, powerful, strong women
all grounded.
Who are making a difference
on that
every day.
Note,
and both of you,
that ends our day
so
here for Mother's Day.
Thank you so much, Stacey. And thank you so much, Lindy. It's been awesome to be here with both you ladies.
And we'll
you as well. Happy Mother's Day. I'm so happy because I hear about you all the time. I'm so happy to meet you.
So happy to meet you.
For Miss Lindy Turner, for Miss Dana Diamond, I'm Stace Cargi. This is Dollars and Cents on WAEW, and we'll see you next week.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.